Well, good morning. This morning we are continuing our mini-series on fellowship, part of the 12 Practices of Discipleship program. And last week we looked at how Christian fellowship, fellowship in the Bible, is koinonia, and the depth of that fellowship is more than we can experience anywhere else. My own thoughts and understanding of koinonia fellowship is very much coloured by an experience I had many years ago when I became a Christian at university, and one summer holiday I spent around 5 weeks living in a Christian community in Post Green in Dorset. And I came away from Post Green describing the place as the love of God being just tangible in Post Green. It was so striking. And it was an experience of fellowship that was full, that was real, an expression of Christian love that embraced the whole of life, not just the bits we choose to share with other people. It was truly sharing life together for the common good, one of our definitions of fellowship from last week. I can't remember the details, but I think there were about 70 people, men and women, adults and children, singles, couples, families, different nationalities, living a communal lifestyle across maybe, I think it was about 5 homes, which were spread around Litchett Minster, which is a village on Poole Harbour between Poole and Wareham. The community was engaged in a number of activities. Some of them were specifically Christian. They ran summer camps, weekend conferences at churches, a Christian publishing business. And some of them were secular. They ran the village shop and the village post office, and some members worked in regular jobs in local schools or businesses. The defining characteristic was a shared life beyond the nuclear family that we are used to. Sharing homes, sharing meals, sharing times of relaxation, sharing possessions, worship, prayer, basically doing life together. They were committed to the Lord, they were committed to the Bible, they were committed to each other. In the words of last week's Acts reading, they were devoted to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship. And the love of God was tangible in that place. It was expressed in very practical, everyday ways. It was worked out in real human relationships. Children flourished in extended families. Singles found a place of belonging in the church, the Christian family. Couples were not under pressure to meet all of each other's practical needs. Everyone was accepted, bathed in love. Christ's love was tangible in that place. One of their publications was a series called Expressing His Life. And that's what they lived out every day, expressing the life of Jesus in their relationships, in their life. It was a very real demonstration of koinonia fellowship in 20th century, as it was then, 20th century England. And it set a very high bar for me as a very young Christian in terms of my expectation of what fellowship was going to be in the Christian church. And I'm still waiting to see it again somewhere. Now, you may not like the idea of communal living. It may not be your choice. I'm not even sure that I like the idea any longer. But how do we express our fellowship? How do we express koinonia fellowship? How do we make sure that everyone knows that they are loved? That you're part of the family. You're important to God. You're important to everyone else here. How do we ensure that we each know that our lives have significance and purpose? That we have a contribution to make? That we're not just here to receive and then go away without interacting with others? That we can make a difference to others? In the kingdom of God, the rules of me first are turned on their head. And in today's Acts reading, which Murray read earlier on, Acts chapter 4, we see these upside-down values of extravagant love, inclusive love, being lived out in the lives of the early Christians in the early church. Believers sharing their possessions, not claiming anything as, well, that's mine. Selling land and even houses in order to raise funds to feed the hungry or to meet the needs of those who had needs among them. And elsewhere in the New Testament, we see barriers of class or gender or race being brushed aside in favour of a mutual sharing of life together for the common good. The early church was living out Jesus' command in that reading that Andrea read to us. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. How did Jesus love his disciples? How does he love us? Back up a few verses in that reading, and he said, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now, love each other as I have loved you. Jesus loves us in the same way that the Father loves him. And that is how he now calls us to love one another. Think about it for a moment. You're in the family now. You're a member of God's family. Love as the rest of the family loves. Love as your Father loves you. Love as your brother Jesus loves you. And notice, love is not an optional add-on, it's a command. This is my command. Love one another. You're in the family now. Now, love. If we love each other like God loves us, then we truly will be sharing koinonia fellowship, sharing life together, not for our own good, but for the common good. It's that love that we see lived out in the early church in Acts 2 and in Acts 4. So what does loving one another as Jesus loved us look like? What is he actually asking us to do? Fortunately, we're not the only ones who don't get it at first reading, because the early Christians didn't get it either. That's why the authors of the New Testament letters had to spell it out in practical terms time and time again so that the churches could grasp the real-world implications of living by the values of the kingdom of God, which is really rather helpful to us because we need that same teaching if we're to get a taste of heaven like they got through sharing koinonia fellowship. So, this is just a small sample, but for example, they wrote that we are to serve one another, that we are to bear with one another, we're to encourage one another, we're to offer hospitality to one another, and be humble towards one another. That's just a small part of the New Testament expansion of what koinonia fellowship is. And a little of it comes naturally to us, but I think we can be certain that little of it came naturally to the first readers of these letters, the early New Testament Christians.